Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yes, I'm doing a second show this week. Wait, and I may even do a third. Right now, I'm at Pinehurst Resort in Pinehurst, North Carolina, doing this show. And I got a message. Wait a second, I got a message. Okay, Esther, I know she's still pissed because I forgot to take her, but that's okay. When I get home, I'll make it up to her. But I'm sorry, Esther, that's the way I understand. Right, okay, fine. Anyway, so that's when the whole show that I'm doing is all going to be about the Pinehurst Resort, as well as the Tufts Archive, and you'll find out what that is. And as it turns out, somebody is in my room here. I think she's going to co-host the show with me.
Oh, my.
Oh, introduce yourself.
I'm the secret bug in your room.
Jesus. Well, before you talk, got to pay the, advertising.
Absolutely.
So I have to do, and it's my, now, don't drool.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies on www.brownies.com. I think they have a sale on for Father's Day, but hell with that. Go get them for yourself. I don't know. Janine, have you ever heard of Fairy Tale Brownies?
I have not, but they sound fantastic.
I'm telling you.
You need to clue me into those.
This is like amazing stuff. You will never want another brownie after you've had these things. But anyway, so let's get to you, though.
Aren't you sweet?
Yes. This is all about Pinehurst, so tell us.
Well, let me just tell you, we are so thrilled to have you in the South, and we are so thrilled to have you at Pinehurst. It is a glorious day in Pinehurst. As you well know, we've had about 75-degree weather. It's been bright and sunny, and we took a very lovely tour today of this entire 2,000-acre property, and what a treat it was.
Oh, yeah. Did you introduce yourself? Did you tell everybody
who
the hell you are?
Please let me tell you. My name is Janine Driscoll. I'm the communications manager at Pinehurst. I have been here for 10 years, and I am absolutely in love with this worldwide destination that was founded in 1895 by a couple of Bostonians.
Really?
It was. James Walker Tufts was from Boston, had founded the American Soda Fountain Company, and decided to develop a New England-style village and resort in, of all places, North Carolina. And what he developed was a resort that was for middle-class Americans to really recover from the ailments of the time, which were all respiratory in nature. and the resort was founded as a health resort long before it was revered as a golf resort, which it is today.
Mm. By the way, audience, I just want to let you know, if I sound like I'm eating, I got the dessert. We'll talk about the food later here.
Absolutely.
But I have dessert sitting with me. I have ice cream and I twist my arm. I have to eat it.
We treat Merle well. We make sure that she has a full serving of ice cream while we're doing the radio broadcast so that you can enjoy. And what she knows is that we create all of our ice creams and our sorbets on property.
Yeah.
And she was given the rock pile, which is one of our favorite desserts. It's one scoop of each of the ice creams and sorbets that we have on property, named after one of our famous guests, the Rocks, of course, who came to dine here every single night while they were alive.
Wow.
Truly, truly a delight.
You said the wife is still here?
The wife is still here.
Yeah.
She is still up. Mr. Rock, unfortunately, has gone to the great ice cream bowl from beyond, and and Mrs. Rock is still with us, and she is a delight and a staple in our property. She visits us in our dining facilities every single night, and we call her a treasured fan.
Now, I have to say, I went on the tour, and I heard all about the place, and I'm absolutely, like, so impressed. So what I want you to do is kind of, like, tell us about, like, first let's talk about what is on this whole property, the hotels.
Sure.
Than, you know.
Well, I know you're going to speak to Audrey Moriarty with the Tufts Archives, who's going to give you the history, so I'm going to give you the modern version. Pinehurst Resort is now a 2,000-acre property, and it includes three premier hotels, the Holly Inn, the Carolina, and the Manor Inn. And then it has eight golf courses, premier among them, Pinehurst.
Only eight?
Only eight. I know. Mm-hmm. That's bigger than any other golf property in North America. The only one that is bigger is in China, Mission Hills, which has 10 golf courses. But we also have world-renowned tennis, croquet, lawn bowling, a fantastic...
By the way, is lawn bowling the same as bocce?
It's very close, very close. It has a little bit different rules, but there are American rules associated with it. But lawn bowling has a very popular following, specifically in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a sport. All of our members that actively play it and actively compete wear their whites every time that they play, but they are very passionate about teaching people the game that they love. And Pinehurst itself has such a wealth of activities that you can enjoy. Most people know it for the eight golf courses that we have, Pinehurst number two chief among them. That's the site of the 1999 and 2005 U.S. Opens. We're bringing back the men's and the women's opens in back-to-back fashion in 2014, back-to-back weeks, which is pretty unprecedented in the golf industry. But I think what you saw, Merle, is that this is not just a golf resort. This is one of those old-fashioned resorts where life is just a little bit slower than it is for the average person.
Now, I understand you don't need a car when you're here.
That is
What's that all about?
That's exactly right. The closest airport is Raleigh-Durham International. It has flights that are direct into New York and just about anywhere. And we are about an hour away from Raleigh. We have a shuttle service that provides service to and from Raleigh-Durham International Airport and free complimentary intra-resort shuttle so that you can go into the village, the historic village of Pinehurst, to the spa, to the golf courses, to our wonderful beach club where you can rent a boat, all within the property without renting a car. We also have a great program called the Acura Drive Program, where we have this fantastic relationship with Acura, where you can take out a car, an Acura vehicle, for a test drive for up to 3 hours at a time. So you can take it shopping, you can go to Raleigh, you can go to the famous Seagrove Pottery area, to the botanical gardens that are in this area. All of those wonderful historic places that North Carolina is known for are very, very close within 3 hours' drive, including those great North Carolina wineries that are popping up.
There's wineries here, too?
you'd be surprised. You know, after tobacco and cotton really became industries that were shipped over to the Southeast, all of the farmers reinvented themselves and created these wonderful vineyards, realizing that the Bordeaux-type grape grows very, very well in North Carolina, and you can find different kinds of wineries all throughout North Carolina. In our area, it's the Scuppernong grape. It's a couple of different grapes that grow in this area, mostly known because we're in the middle of the Piedmont, sweeter wines and dessert wines from this area. But if you go just a couple of hours to the west, you're going to find great Cabernets and a couple of Nortons and Chardonnays that grow very, very well in North Carolina.
Well, cool.
It is. It's quite extraordinary.
And you also got beer around here, too. Well,
we do. You know, anywhere that there are great people having a good time, and
yeah,
especially
right.
in North Carolina, which is this great repository of immigrants from places like New York and Connecticut and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Chicago, you're going to have people that want to make their own stuff. So we have some great breweries that exist as well. Microbrews are very, very popular in North Carolina right now and popping up just as quickly as the wineries are.
Now, what I want to ask you, the three hotels, how do the three hotels differ?
They're very different, and I'm glad that you asked that question. The first hotel that we built was the Holly Inn that was built in 1895, very much built as a historic inn. It has low ceilings. It was built in the arts and crafts style. It has a lot of old pine wainscoting. It has our premier dining facility, the 1895 grill, which has an out-of-this-world triple chocolate souffle that is one of my favorites. Smaller rooms, very quaint, has a lot of antique furniture. And then you come into the Carolina Hotel, which was built in 1901. We've just undergone about a $10 million renovation of the Carolina Hotel. So the rooms are very comfortable. They have wicker seating and plush beds, and we have deluge rain showers in the showers. But they're also very, very comfortable and have that quaint feel to them. The Carolina Hotel is where our main Carolina dining room is. Great for breakfast, great for steaks, has some live entertainment, as well as our Ryder Cup, which is a casual dining outlet, has our pool, has the majority of our meeting facilities. So a very popular central location throughout our property.
I got to tell you, I always prefer live entertainment, because if there's anything that's really annoying is watching corpses perform.
I would agree. Yeah. I just danced with one of the waiters while we were having dinner tonight. I love that.
Yeah.
There's nothing better, and the Carolina Dining Room has always had live entertainment for the past 100 years, so we pride ourselves on people that have been here for quite a long time.
Now,
and then, of course, you have
right.
the Manor, which is
the third
hotel that we have, which is built more like a hunter's lodge. It's very comfortable. It's very quaint. It's a nice place for a casual night out.
Now, and by the way, just to let people know where I'm staying, I'm actually in the presidential suite right now. But it's so big, it's hard to describe. Why don't you describe it?
It is. What a wonderful facility this is, the presidential suite. And truly, Merle, you're worthy of the presidential suite. It's broken up into two portions. It has a parlor portion, and it has a residential portion. And that's so if a president of a company or even our president comes in, he can enjoy the parlor and have meetings within that parlor with those two large screen flat TVs, that fireplace that you can heat up at any time, your private balcony that overlooks the West Lawn, and great places to work and to meet. And then in the residential portion, there's your bedroom, a separate parlor that is just for you to watch TV with your family, along with a very plush bathroom, and I'm sure you've enjoyed seeing that that bath where we will draw your bath, or that five-head shower that shoots water in every direction. That is quite a treat.
I can't wait to take a shower. I'm telling you that.
You'll be spoiled. You may never leave.
Yeah. It's so big, and it's like I almost have to walk a block away just to talk to you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I like that front part there that's cut off, you know?
That's right.
This way I could be in the room and totally naked, and they can come in, drop off my food or whatever I want right in there, and, you know, in the front part. And then I say, all right, get the hell out of here, and then I can just go over and fetch it myself, you know?
Yeah, that is exactly right. You live in the lap of luxury while you were at Pinehurst, but what many people really don't realize is that even though Pinehurst is known as that championship age-old resort, is that it's very, very affordable. We have packages. In fact, I was just thinking at dinner.
I want to wait till later to
about that. Some of the great offerings that we have. So, and family offerings that we have. It's very, very approachable.
So, in other words, you come here now. When you're staying over, is breakfast always included?
It most 95% of the people that come to Pinehurst, the breakfast is included in their package.
So it's part of a package that you'll do.
That's correct.
All right. Then tomorrow morning I'll get to experience the breakfast.
Those sausage gravy and biscuits are my personal favorite, and I'm a Yankee. I was born in Pennsylvania, but nobody makes a good old-fashioned Southern breakfast quite like Pinehurst.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that tomorrow, and I'm also going to look forward to going to the spa.
Absolutely.
Well, tell me about what should I expect anyway.
Well, you are going to love the spa. It's located right next to the Carolina Hotel, so it's a very quick walk for you as you leave the hotel. And you're going to want to get there at least 30 minutes ahead, because you're going to want to change into your robe and just sit by the hot tubs in the steam sauna, or just reading a magazine while you relax your body. And the therapist really suggests that you just give yourself time to relax. You're going to enjoy some fabulous treatments. We pride ourselves on those indigenous treatments that are very Southern, using all those essences that we have at the spa, the Carolina Peach Nourisher, the Magnolia Luxury Facial, the Holly Berry Back and Foot, the Pine Salt Scrub. These are all native Carolina essences where we have worked with botanists to really cultivate some of those local scents, flavors, and build them into our signature treatments. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that.
It is. What's so surprising about the spa at Pinehurst is it is its own separate facility. It's a very large facility that has 31,000 square feet. Excuse me. It has 28 treatment rooms, over 50 services that are offered at the spa, as well as a full-service salon for manicures, pedicures, a really nice fitness facility, as well as a cool teen lounge, because we offer both kid spa and teen spa treatments.
So I also, like, we took a ride over to the lake.
Yes.
Yes, we encountered a turtle crossing the stream.
We did, and we were on our way to save said turtle, and turtle saved himself, or somebody,
well,
saved
somebody
him
saved
before we got there.
Yeah.
Lots of native animals that you will see throughout the property, the fox squirrel that looks like almost like a raccoon. We have turtles. We have lot of native birds.
But no,
well.
Chickens.
But no chickens. No.
Not the chicken, and the chicken didn't get to cross the street.
And we didn't have to worry about eating them either, because we both had such great meals in the Carolina
dining
room.
Oh, we're going to get to that later.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But the beach club is a 200-acre lake. It has a white sand beach that has volleyball on the beach if you want it. You can rent a pontoon, a kayak, a canoe, a sunfish sailboat, just about, or a fishing boat. And we just saw a great picture of about a very, very large fish that just came out of Lake Pinehurst.
Oh, it's one of those fish tails, isn't it?
It is. And I thought that it had been photoshopped in, but I got to be honest with you, I saw the real fish. I mean, it was...
Really?
It was quite the long fish, yes.
Oh.
I was pretty impressed.
So if you're doing anything, things on the lake, like the, you know, the boat, any of the boats, that's like part of just being here?
That's exactly right. You can, as a guest of the hotel, you can enjoy the beach club all you want. It is a treasure. It goes along with afternoon tea that we have every afternoon at 4 p.m., as well as our bicycles that you can ride throughout the property.
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm going to try to do the bicycle.
Tomorrow morning. It's very flat here, so it's very easy. I suggest that you try it.
Well, what will be interesting for me, and I don't do bikes with handbrakes, and I hear you have the bikes with the foot brakes.
We do. That's exactly right.
That's so great. I mean, when I drive a car, I don't use my hands to, you know, to brake. So, you know, so to trying to use my hands just, you know, gets me crazy. So I'm happy to brake with my feet, you know. Although I must admit it's been quite a long time since I've ridden a bike, but it's one of those things like you don't forget, you know. Ride a bike and you don't forget. Well,
that's exactly right.
Well, we're going to find out.
And this is the place to try it. Absolutely. I mean, resort living is about slowing down. It's about reconnecting with yourself. And if you need to go all the way back to the time when you rode bikes just to be able to relax, then so be it. Go ahead and do it.
Now I'm going to do just to see if I can do it.
Just
to see if I can.
I want to see it. I think I'm going to have to videotape it.
Yeah, I was going to say we got to put this on YouTube.
That's right. That is a moment. That is a Kodak moment right there.
So it's okay. So then you now what about in terms of? And I forgot to ask you. Like in terms of like, you know, golf. Well, tennis is not going to be. There's no charge if
that's
you play
correct.
Tennis.
It's included in your package.
But is there, I mean, because there's always, like, a charge for golf, isn't there?
There is.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
But basically, it's because, is there, and it's, just, is there any, like, less charge if people are bringing their own golf clubs?
Well, most people bring their golf clubs. They
oh, okay.
choose to play with their own clubs. We do have rental sets available if they want to,
mm-hmm.
and we do offer lessons year-round as well as our world-famous golf schools. What we normally do, if you are a beginner, you're going to want to play 1, 3, and 5. Those are our resort courses. They're a little bit shorter. They're a little bit easier. Very, very popular with our members for just a great walk in the park. And then if you want more of a challenge, you're going to want to play 4, 6, 7, and 8, those including the famed number 2. A lot more of a challenge, longer golf courses which require some skill. But we really have golf for everyone, and we offer a different challenge in just about every golf course. And this is the Sandhills. We have 43 golf courses throughout this area, so quite a great place to rest, relax, eat, enjoy, and play if you want.
Wow, that's really great. And, oh, by the way, when they had, you know, high tea. Well, not exactly high tea. Okay. They have tea. It's in the lobby.
Right. Yeah. This is just afternoon tea. Every the second Friday of every month, we offer high tea. We do a high tea.
Oh, you
tea.
Do?
We do a high tea and tour. We start off with a historic walking tour through the village of Pinehurst, and we end at the resort and do a very nice high tea that is freshly made scones, chocolate-covered strawberries, tea sandwiches that the chef prepares is quite extraordinary.
Is this like, did you do, I mean, is this like just included or this is something separate?
It is something separate, but it's a nominal fee. It's what I would call a nominal fee. The tour and the tea, which is a two-hour, is $25
oh,
a person.
That's not bad at all.
No, not for that three-course meal, and trust me, it is every bit worth it.
Mm, I bet. I mean, I just had a couple of the, there was a macaroon they had like today.
That is exactly right.
With some chocolate on it. And the other was a nice soft chocolate chip cookie.
That's right. All of the cookies are made on staff. We have a full pastry kitchen, and our pastry chef is Matt Avery. Loves to just bake up something new and unique and different just about every day.
Oh, that's really great.
Absolutely. We all have a sweet tooth here. And
yeah.
Matt knows I love chocolate, so he always manages to have something chocolate on the menu.
Do you have, like, any interesting stories of somebody who goes, well, not, you don't have to name anybody, but any interesting stories of, you know, some people who came here?
My goodness,
you know,
way too lots of famous people that have come through the resort. The one that immediately comes to mind for me is Anna Nicole Smith. I remember when she was here several years ago, God rest her soul, she was doing a speaking engagement here about some health products that she was representing at the time, and she was just one of the smallest, petite, very, very nice individuals that I got the opportunity to meet. Of course, we've met a lot of golf figures. We've also had a variety of presidents that have come here. George H.W. Bush, the father, has been here, as well as Nixon, Ford, Eisenhower, all the way dating back to World War II times and beyond. We have greatly benefited from great people here, but also we've had Oprah and James Earl Jones and several celebrities that have come here to play golf and really enjoy the Pinehurst experience.
Well, I can understand, you know, not just playing golf, but to, you know, this is really, really impressive resort. I'm absolutely amazed.
Well, I am so thankful that you got a chance to say that.
And
everybody should experience this.
Oh, yeah. And I also like that, you know, with the shuttle that you have, and, you know, you don't have to, on the resort, you're not staying in one building. There's a vast amount of areas and restaurants and vast, you know, things to do. And again, you know, it's not like, okay, I got to pull my car out and drive, you know, whatever to
that's right.
In there. And then if you do want to drive, even if you don't feel like driving your own car,
that's exactly right. And we're one of those places where valet parking is included in your stay. It's just one of those Southern hospitality offerings that we give to every guest, because we believe that Southern hospitality should be truly and genuinely delivered, and this staff loves the guests that stay here.
Oh, wow. This is
it's truly a spectacular place. Believe everybody should see it.
Now, in terms of, I'm curious about with the restaurants that you have, do each of them have, like, because they each have their own, I guess, executive chef, right?
There is one executive chef that is over the entire resort. He is French. His name is Thierry Debailleux. He is one of my favorite people on property, and you can see his touches infused in each one of the restaurants. We have 8 on property. You can see his touches, signature touches in each of them. My favorite is the new Ryder Cup that we have just opened. He just created a brand new menu. And what you're going to see on that menu is comfort food, mac and cheese, but he puts a little bit of Taleggio in it, which is an Italian creamy cheese, or the shrimp and grits that just has a little bit of Maytag blue. There is pulled pork two ways. He loves the Carolina flavor, but that French richness that is part of his heritage is never too far away in any of the dishes that he creates.
Yeah, I know. It's the two things that I keep running into all over North Carolina is the pulled pork and the shrimp and grits.
That's exactly right. And you're going to find lots of other things. I love the sweet potato fries. Sweet potatoes, very indicative to this area, as well as the poultry, the seafood. Lots of homegrown ingredients, too, that you will see. I'm sure you remember, Merle, I had the Oak Bluff tomatoes that are from North Carolina, and a native heirloom tomato that is just plentiful in North Carolina. Asparagus strawberries are in season right now, and they are fantastic.
We're going to discuss our dinner after Audrey, is that the...
That's exactly right,
Audrey
Moriarty with the Tufts Archives.
Yeah, and she'll be calling in a few minutes, so
yeah.
We'll go into what we ate for dinner.
Correct.
Well,
and
how
the
we
history.
Picked out, yeah, and we, you know, we'll get to that. But what was the wine that you had, by the way?
I had a wonderful Luc Donald Chardonnay that's from the Terlato family of wines. If you've ever tried it, of course, there are a lot of players on the golf tour that are starting their own wineries or have their own wines. Luc Donald wines, very buttery, oaky Chardonnay. It was perfect. It was the perfect foil for this very meaty, fleshy sea bass that I had, buttery sea bass that I had this evening.
Yeah, and what was the wine that Jennifer had?
That Jennifer had. For Jennifer, we chose a Zinfandel. Jennifer was having filet mignon, which is aged purely by chef and has his own signature rum on it. We chose a red. She doesn't like big, bold caps. She wanted something in the middle, and so we chose a red Zinfandel. That went really, really well with her steak. It, you know, Zinfandel really picks out a lot of spice. It really took action with that rub that Chef put on the filet mignon and really worked out well.
Okay. We'll get into the menu in just a minute. I want to take a quick break. Another sponsor has to get in on this. So, and enjoy this commercial.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats. And that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear Traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Don't you just love that commercial?
Yeah, that's great.
It's so funny. I keep asking him to, you know, send me another commercial. I have to get one, like something like that. You know, I think I always chuckle when I hear that. Anyway, all right, so while we're waiting, we can start talking about tonight, what we ate tonight. Okay, so let's start with the appetizers that we chose.
Absolutely. Do you want to start with yours? I think you should describe yours.
Okay. Now, it is a crab cake.
Yes, it was a crab and lobster
cake.
So
yes.
You had a little, what I'd call a crab cake with another little bit of chef love.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of lobster in that creates a little bit of richness.
And it wasn't, it wasn't hot. There was a spice in it, but nothing that kicked, you know what I mean?
That overpowered the dish.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
A little bit that added a little bit of flavor. You know, crab is such a mild flavor, and it really takes on a new personality if you use a little Old Bay or just a little bit of flavorful spice. And lobster is the same way. You can treat lobster very delicately and just dip it in butter and it is warm and succulent, or you can turn it around and put a little spice to it, kick it up another notch, and it takes on an entirely different persona.
That was really good. And then I tasted yours. Oh God, that was, what a trip.
Out of this world. Chef created this wonderful savory cheesecake that has smoked salmon, Stilton blue cheese, was paired with these wonderful oak bluff tomatoes in the middle, and it had a red wine reduction sauce all the way around it. The cheesecake, Merle, I fell in love with it. I hope you did too.
It's funny because looking at it on the menu, I wasn't really clear. It sounded to me, I thought this was smoked salmon with cheesecake, like there was some cheesecake on the side or something. I didn't get that this was all part of this whole thing, but the whole combination of it. And the smoked salmon was just, like, perfect. Like, it didn't
overpower
it.
Yeah. You know, salmon, smoked salmon specifically, can really overpower a dish. And he just created that perfect balance between the smoked salmon and the cheese.
Yeah, and the chef ran out of cigarettes, so he smoked the salmon, isn't it?
That's the way that French do it. It's,
yeah.
You know, we got to give him credit. He's very particular about not wasting anything.
Mm. And, yes.
And those appetizers were wonderful. I know Jennifer was with us, and she enjoyed a great shrimp cocktail. So if you want the bizarre, if you want the out of the ordinary, if you want those escargot, or he makes a fresh pate here, they're wonderful. If you just decide you want to go middle of the road, the shrimp cocktail is always there for you.
Right. And I know, like, the other one, I thought I would, if I tried anything, it was that the pork two ways, which was, what was it, ribs and pulled pork?
That's exactly right. It's just his version of taking a Carolina favorite and turning it into his own design.
That's really great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we get, well, normally I wouldn't have had a steak, but it's like this whole week I didn't have steak so far. And I decided if I'm going to have a steak, I want to have a steak where, you know, it's outstanding. And I had a feeling after tasting, after getting a sense of what the appetizers were, that the steak would be great. All right. All right. Never mind. You told me the steak was great. And that's why.
I did. And I delivered, didn't I?
You certainly did.
It was
did.
Quite extraordinary. You know, I told you before, the chef ages his own beef and he's got his own rub. So I will never steer you wrong in going to the Carolina dining room and enjoying a great filet, or in your case, you had the New York strip.
Yeah, I always like kind of, you know, leave it to somebody else to tell me, like, whether to have, because there was a ribeye, there was that, the filet, and there was also the
prime rib.
So I'm always never sure, like, what to have that, or I like to, like, have a steak that I have to do a lot of chewing. You know what I mean?
You want to get the flavor out of the meat. You know as well as I do, it's all about marbling. It's all about those juicy parts that are within the steak. I think he's chosen some cuts of beef that are extraordinary.
Yeah. You know that I have yet to figure out why it's called the New York strip.
You know, that is a good question. We need to investigate that.
I was in California many years ago. And we go California. I don't know if they still have it, but we're in California. There was a California strip.
How about that?
And I asked somebody, like, how, you know, what does it mean? I mean, actually, the waitress said, "Oh, I think because the steak is in the shape of California." And I thought,
well, oh boy, I hadn't heard about that.
That's not true. She just didn't know what to answer.
That is fantastic.
But it's interesting to know that, you know, here in New York, it's a New York strip, and then, you know, California had called theirs a California strip.
What
they mean, we have no idea. Evidently, it must be a certain portion of the cut of beef.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to guess that the New York strip, you know, because whoever decided on that portion to be used was a New York chef, I guess.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
But they were all good.
They were extraordinary.
Yeah.
The chef never steers me wrong when I am ordering a steak in the Carolina dining room.
Yeah, and they had sides with it, and in this particular, like, he gets to choose the sides that would go with it. And they were real baby carrots.
That's exactly right. And the reason that we left Chef Pick is because he deals with all of the local vendors and all of the local growers, and he finds out what is fresh and what is wonderful that comes in that day. And that's what he picks as your side dish. You had some wonderful carrots. I think I saw some asparagus, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
which is fresh and great asparagus season right now in North Carolina. And I had some wonderful baby field greens, some watercress over my sea bass that I had this evening. Mm. It was extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's funny, there was this, like, I'm looking at the plate and there's this, what I thought, it looked like a piece of cornbread or something. I'm thinking, why in the hell are they putting cornbread? And then I thought, all right, let me taste this thing. Maybe it's grits. Did they put grits with this? You put grits with everything. Why not put it in this, you know?
That's
and then I tasted it, and I said, no, this is Yorkshire pudding.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Not that I've had Yorkshire pudding all my life and know what it is, but I remember seeing on the menu of some of the things that come with Yorkshire pudding.
He absolutely loves it to have those traditional menu items made in a new and entirely different way.
You know, and I even have no idea what Yorkshire pudding consists of. Do you know?
I think that's something that we have to let the listeners look up for themselves.
Yeah, look at it. Google it. Somebody Google it for me.
That's right.
And then you can email me at mexit@earthlink.net and tell me what Yorkshire pudding is and what goes into it. And I'll either say, oh, that sounds great, or I'll go, oh, you shouldn't have told me. One or the other, right?
I'm sure it is lovely. You tried it today, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it tasted great, but I may look at it and say, oh, my God, that piece had 1,600 calories. I'll never eat it again. Yeah.
I bet. But, you know, it was great.
Oh,
and
it's great.
It's always important to know that all of our dining facilities at Pinehurst are open to the public, so we always want you to stay with us, but just in case you're visiting family in the area or traveling through, you know that you can enjoy those dining restaurants and experience that wonderful cuisine no matter where you stay.
Now, I also wanted to, so we make sure we get into it, you would tell me about a special that you're having here?
Are you talking
package?
About our special packages? We have
some
extraordinary packages, and people always think that Pinehurst is not affordable, but if you are traveling during the July 4th weekend, we have an extraordinary $150 special that includes your room, breakfast, and dinner. You can enjoy all of the great activities have going on.
Wait a minute. You mean what you were telling me includes dinner, too?
Absolutely it does. We are thrilled to offer that, and you get the benefit of the fireworks and the pet parade and the activities that are going on in our great village. This is great family time for everybody that wants to get away from it all. And then, of course, if you are golf or spa, you're going to enjoy the Pinehurst Golf Package or the Pinehurst Spa Package. The Pinehurst Golf Package $299, which includes your room, breakfast, and a round of golf, slightly less for a spa treatment. I think it's $249, if I'm not mistaken. You can find that on pinehurst.com. And then there are those ultimate treatments that you can have if you decide you want to go all out, the Pinehurst Summer Tea, which is a four-day, three-night stay, quite the package that you will enjoy when you see it on pinehurst.com. And several others there as well. For those that are planning a wedding, this is an extraordinary spot. And we offer honeymoon package, romance packages that include strawberries and flowers in your room. So just a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. I'll be here on July 4th.
Absolutely.
I think I'll be coming back here. Well, 'cause I'm not, I won't be going to the international football game. Can't afford it. Sweden won't pick up the bill, so I guess
I understand.
I'll be around.
You are more than welcome to come anytime. Has Audrey joined us yet?
No, I don't know what she hasn't called in.
Hmm.
You think you can chat a little bit about them?
Well, I can certainly chat a little bit about the Tufts Archives, by all means. Looks like she might have called in to my cell phone, so I will certainly check that and see if I can't. Merle, I'm going to check my voicemail
While you're doing that, it's time for time for a song.
That sounds
great. So let's go. Here we are.
Cheers. maybe the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
I must have written the phone number down wrong, and then that poor person was calling in and getting...
Well, no worries. Yeah. It just means that we have primed this audience for a great conversation.
You're not kidding. As a matter of fact, she's right on right now.
Hello.
Hello, Audrey.
Hi.
Well, we got you.
Yes.
Better late than never, huh?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have the right number, I guess.
No, that's okay. I guess I thought I wrote, whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're here with us now. We're so thrilled to have you with us.
Tell me about your place over there. What is it? What's it all about?
All right. Well, it's the Tufts Archives, and I call it the Pinehurst History Museum, and that's really exactly what it is. It's... we have the history of Pinehurst and the history of kind of the development of golf that was sort of simultaneous in Pinehurst and in the United States. And it starts from the very first days of Pinehurst in the summer of 1895, when the plans were being drawn up pretty much through the present day. And we have the history, some prehistory of the founding father of Pinehurst, who is James Walker Tufts, and some of his early business records and early biographical material from, and then the starting of Pinehurst, as I say, from the earliest days on.
So, we were talking about the thing with the soda fountain thing. So.
Oh right. Well, when
you
James
actually
Walker...
have replicas there.
We do. We have, it's not even a replica. It's an actual soda fountain. But when James Walker Tufts was a young man, there were actually four children in his family, and two of them died in infancy and youth, which was not uncommon, unfortunately, at the time. And he had an older brother, and he was married and had a wife of his own when James Walker Tufts' father died. So he had to go to work to help support his mother. And he was 16 years old, and he was apprenticed to an apothecary shop. And the first year he worked there, he made $50. So that was a lot of money to him then. And he worked there until he was 21, where he made almost $250 that year. So he had enough money to open his first apothecary shop of his own. And he got some advice from his father's friends, and they helped him get his business started. And as the business grew, he opened other shops in the surrounding, in the environs of Boston, like Medford and Somerville, places like that. And so he actually had five shops. And in addition, as he worked in the shops, he invented some labor-saving devices that helped him, you know, do his job better, and had the soda fountain and the apothecary shop. And so other people would say, oh, I would love to have one of those. So his business grew also into a soda apparatus company. And so I'm sorry.
When you come into the place, I mean, that's not the first thing you see. What is the first area in the building? I mean, I know we came in, then we went right to the back.
When you first walked in, it's the Given Memorial Library, which is the library that was endowed by Sarah Given Larson, whose parents were part of the sort of the cottage crowd of Pinehurst. And her mother, Irene Hines Given, obviously was a Hines, and that's where the money came from. So they endowed the library. And then when the Tufts family sold the resort properties to Diamond Head, they used some of the money to endow the Tufts archives, and it became the sort of the family archives and history of Pinehurst. So you walk through the library to get to the archives. And then
so
when you get
the library itself is like going to the public library, or is there?
Yes, it is privately endowed, and it's a nonprofit.
Okay.
It's not a public library in that we are supported
well,
by public funds.
Well, I mean,
funds,
I guess what I mean
yeah,
is there isn't like one collection. There isn't. I mean, there are, you know, you can come in to read something other than.
Oh yeah. Oh,
that
definitely. Yeah, it's like a regular library, and then
okay.
When a normal public library. As I say, it functions as a public library. And then when you go to the rear, it's the Tufts archives in the back, which has the family papers from the Tufts family from the earliest days. And we have over 125,000 images of the beginning of Pinehurst all the way through the history of the golf tournament and the growth of the village. And we have many of the original drawings from Donald Ross. We have golf course sketches, hole sketches, and layouts from several hundred, 300-400 different courses that he designed. And all that original work is in the Tufts archives.
Did you say Donald Ross? Is that what you said?
Donald Ross, yes. Uh-huh. He was hired by James Walker Tufts in 1900 to come. What actually happened, the resort was, the whole plan was started to be a health spa. And James Walker Tufts had some ailment throughout his life and frequently had to rest to regain his health. And so he knew the value of rest and relaxation, and one of his dreams was to have a health spa. And that was the reason he started Pinehurst. But he found out within a year or so that the people that he wanted to come were consumptives, and they found out that consumption was contagious. It was actually tuberculosis. And so they had to change their whole plan immediately from being a health spa, place for people who are sick to get well, to really a recreational area. And that changed the type of people who came. So, you know, people had already begun bringing golf balls and golf clubs. And so they had to concentrate on leisure rather than healthful living. And that's really how the sort of design of the village had changed.
So, in other words, when this all happened, they turned around and said, consumption be done about it.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And
right.
This is what they did for it. Okay.
Right. Well, originally he had written letters to all of his doctor friends and said, please send your consumptives here because mm-hmm. we've built all this moderately priced, you know, moderately priced housing for people, and they can come and stay the prolonged length of time that it takes to recover from consumption. And so they encouraged, and he wrote all his doctor friends to send the consumptives. And then when they found out that it was contagious, then they had to immediately turn around, and they had all these cottages and inns built. And they're like, well, what can we do now? And what they had to do was change to leisure. And then he wrote back all the doctors and said, please, no consumptives. And then people had to bring a bill of good health when they came after that for a while so that they could prove that they were not consumptive.
Yeah, I also noticed there's things you could buy in the place.
We have one of the things that we sell is our images, which are, you know, as I said, from the earliest days at Pinehurst, we have these wonderful historic images, and they've all been scanned, and we reproduce those for people. So we have those, and then we have old graphics, which are like hand-colored postcards, posters, advertisements, et cetera, old menus. And then we have some written matter. We have a book on the history of the club, Pinehurst Country Club, that was written by Ken Boyd, who is one of our volunteers, did all the research there. And we have two other books that we sell, and one is called Pinehurst Golf History and the Good Life, which is a pictorial history of Pinehurst that I put together it came out in 2005, and we have a walking tour book that we have just released earlier this year, and it has before and after pictures, because one of the things that's really unique about Pinehurst is the first couple seasons they built 38 cottages, and there's still 32 in existence. So we have pictures from them that are more than 100 years old, and then pictures of how they look now. And so it's kind of fun because you can walk around the village and take the walking tour book and see the before and after look of these cottages.
Cool.
And it is cool because many of them look very much the same, and some of them you look and can't believe it's the same place. But a lot of the houses have been remodeled extensively, but many of them have kept their true historic significance. So it's kind of fun to see that.
And by the way, who's that lady in the corner there that I saw?
Oh, the lady in the corner. Well, that's Aunt Dinah, and she was a little like a slave woman replica that stood in front of the Sandhills Women's Exchange. And the Women's Exchange was an organization that was started by many of the women in Pinehurst to help other women who didn't know. They taught them skills like canning or sewing or braiding rugs, and people would make handmade goods and sell them at the Women's Exchange. And Aunt Dinah was always out in front. And some people come in the archives and they go, oh, my gosh, I had my picture taken with her when I was a little kid. So a lot of people recognize her right away and say, oh, there she is. And we have lots of pictures of the Women's Exchange over the year, and she's out there in front, or she's moved around. But anyway, that's what she's all about. And she disappeared for a while. She was stolen and vandalized, and somebody found her and contacted us. So we've gotten her back and put her back together, and she's in the corner of the archives right now, very happily ensconced there.
Does this Women's Exchange still exist?
Yes. There were 90 in the United States originally. Now they're only about 19. And the one in Pinehurst is one of the oldest ones, but they're nationwide. I think the oldest one is in St. Augustine. But, yeah, it still exists. And they not only do they have handmade goods, but you can eat lunch there, and they have all their food is homemade on-premise, and they have cakes and cookies and salads and sandwiches. And then you can go in the consignment area, and they have knitted goods and jewelry and paintings and all sorts of interesting little things that you can purchase. And the money goes back to the consigners and then some to keep the Women's Exchange alive. And it's housed in a log cabin that was built about 1844, and it resided on a grist mill. And James Walker Tough saw it and thought it was a wonderful building, and he bought it, and they took it apart piece by piece and then moved it back to Pinehurst. And at one point, it served as a museum, and it had some few museum pieces in there. And then he gave it to the women for the women's exchange.
That's great. Yeah. So how long have you been doing your job there?
I started as the archivist in 2002.
Oh.
And then in 2004, I also took on the job as a librarian. I'm a librarian as well, and so I'm the executive director of the library and the archives right now. The archives is really it's very unique because there aren't that many towns that are started by one person and have this truly long-term history. And the Tufts family ran the town and really had most of the operational decision-making and everything until the early 70s when the place, the resort, was sold to Diamond Head. And they owned the power plant and the water plant and the hotels and all that sort of thing. And so they pretty much, from the early days, were responsible for the livelihood and the well-being of the resort. And they had to provide food, and they had a dairy and a piggery and a poultry farm and all that sort of stuff. So they provided everything that the village needed. They even had a bowling alley in the early days. They had a two-lane bowling alley that was right down in the village behind Dugan's.
Oh.
So, or what is now Dugan's Pub on Market Square. But so it was really, really a very unique. It was. I always tell people it was like adult camp because people stayed in these cottages and they didn't have kitchens like so much of the South because of fire and heat, they kept the kitchens away from the house. And so these cottages didn't have kitchens, and everyone went down to what was called the casino building, and that's where they took their meals. So it was kind of, you know, everybody knew everybody else and kind of wandered around and had their meals together and everything. And it was kind of a very low-key but sort of genial atmosphere.
Are you like open every day, or what's the story?
We are. We're open from 9:30 to 5 o'clock Monday through Friday, and then on Saturdays 9:30 to 12:30. And people, we have a lot of people come and do research. And if you're interested, like in a Ross course or a cottage or some sort of information, if people call us ahead of time, we make sure we pull all the stuff for them and have everything ready for them when they come. Or a lot of people just come and browse and look at. In the cases, we have lots of artifacts and a lot of before and after images and lots of information about the histories of the golf course and the Tufts family. And we keep files on all the organizations and businesses and people, you know, like a lot of famous people or political people, people of import or note in the village, and we keep files on all of that. So we have all.
You got a website?
Yes, we do. It's www.tuftsarchives.org, and you can read about the history.
T as in Thomas, U, S as in Frank, T, S
right.
as in Sam.
Yes, like Tufts of Hair or Tufts of Grass, yeah.
Right.
Like Tufts University, which we are not affiliated with, but the people who gave the land for Tufts University, it was a second cousin of James Walker Tufts. So it is. It's Tufts Archives.
Okay. That's really great. So that's just one other thing that you could do here while you're
right, and we're right downtown in the heart of the village, right across from the Holly Inn, and we're a brick building with white columns and a fountain in the front. If the fountain is running, we're open.
Right, that's what I heard.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling and telling us about this. That's really cool.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right,
okay.
Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Wow, isn't that cool?
What a great individual she is, isn't she?
Yeah.
Audrey knows more about the history of Pinehurst through that wealth of history that exists in the Tufts archives. We got such a great gift by James Walker Tufts, who actually wanted to keep all of that history and hired a photographer to record all of that history. And it, just as Audrey mentioned, it's a very unique thing to have one town started by one person who actually kept all the history for over 70 years.
You know, I've got to tell you, if you're not a fan of golf, meaning that you'll just, you know, play golf no matter what, and it's, you'll miss a lot of stuff. If that's all you want to do is play
that's
golf.
That's exactly right. If you're going to spend all your time on the golf course, you're going to forget about the spa, the great shopping, going through the golf memorabilia stores in the village, the dining, and especially that Tufts Archives where you can see all the golf legends of the game and pictures here at the resort.
That's what I like about this place.
Just a cell phone. It just tends to ring every now and again. We're not going to worry too much about it. Well, let's just turn that right off.
Oh, okay.
There's just no such thing as cell phones in Pinehurst.
I got to tell you something that's funny. On the last show, I'm doing the show, my telephone is ringing, and you'll hear it in the show. The telephone is ringing, and I'm sitting there going, "Okay, on line two, it's ringing. Who could be possibly calling me at the hotel?" And I figure, okay, and it's ringing, and it finally like stops, and I figure, whoever it is, you know, it's I'll, you know, get a message and I'll call and I'll wait till the show ends. A little time goes by as it continues and the phone rings again. And it's ringing, you know, and I'm going, what the hell, what's going on? First I'm thinking, oh, I hope it's not, you know, some emergency thing. And so I end the show and I look on my phone and I see the message light blinking. So I pick it up, and there's the first message, and it's a hang-up. And I go to the second message, and it's a hang-up.
Mm.
And I'm going, what the heck is going on? And I call down to the desk, and I said, well, you know, I got no message. Did I somebody call? And they went to find, and it was the manager on duty. She was calling me to find out if I was on the phone. If I'm on the phone. Now, why don't you just leave a message, the first message,
right,
just saying, call me when you get off the phone.
Right.
As opposed to calling back and letting the phone ring. You know?
That's very odd.
So
they must have been checking your voicemail.
I don't know what they were doing. But it's like when phones ring or things happen, it's like I said, oh, whatever. You know, I was doing a show, and the UPS guy came to my house.
Oh, my.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, there's a UPS guy. So I just took my phone, because you had my portable phone. I just took my phone, went over to the door, and, you know, I'm answering in the door, and the guy's looking at me. And I says to him, oh, I said, what's your name? He says, wait, say hello. I have him say hello into the phone. He doesn't know what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, and leaving, I'm going, oh, by the way, you were on the radio. Just thought I'd let you know.
How funny is that?
So it does, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Great.
But anyway, so is there anything we left out about this?
I don't think so. I think that you've covered it very well. Whether you're a golfer, a spa goer, family, or whether you're looking for history, really, Pinehurst, which is in the central south of North Carolina, just 2 hours east of Charlotte, about 2 hours from the coast, is really an ideal stopping spot for you.
Well, what I'm going to do, actually, when I do, if I remember, God, when I do my next show, not the one in Raleigh, because I'll be doing one in Raleigh, but when I get home and start doing some of the shows, I'm going to then talk about the spa treatment itself.
Fantastic.
And I'll get into that, and so I'll have that covered. And I'll also tell you how the breakfast was, too.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So, what the heck. I'm going to, you know, I thought I might go until 11 tonight, but I'm not. I'm going to end the show early.
I'm
stuffed, too.
You're stuffed, and you're happy, and you're tired, and that's the best place you should be at Pinehurst.
Yeah, well, Okay. Well, thanks a whole bunch for co-hosting with me.
What a pleasure to be with you, Merle. And we are so thrilled that you are in North Carolina. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your stay.
Yeah, and it's really great to be here in the presidential suite, too.
And remember, it's always a beautiful day at Pinehurst.
It is. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
So, yes, what I'm going to do is, yep, I'm ending the show early tonight. That's what I'm going to do. And so, tune in to whatever the next show is, whenever it is. I think I'm going to do a show this coming weekend while I'm in Raleigh. I'll be doing another show. In the meantime, have a great day, night, or whatever you're doing. And she just left another message. She wants to make sure I take. I'll take her another time. I promise I'll do that. So until the next show.